This morning, I would have you look at the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, and verse number 8. The Bible says, let's back up and look at a couple of things here. Jesus said in verse 4, answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This is after the question, when shall the end come? Jesus said, don't let anybody deceive you. He said, what shall be this end of the world, sign of thy coming and end of the world? And by the way, they're two different things. Sign of thy coming and the end of the world, two different things. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Verse number 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. If you look up the word sorrows, it's the same word that's used for the word travail. And the word travail is the word used for a woman in labor. That a woman who is having premature labor or labor, birth pains. Now for those that have had children, moms and dads, you've sat at the bedside, you know something about birth pains. Moms, you know something about birth pains. There's two things to remember about birth pains. If you're an EMT, paramedic, fireman, you're in the medical profession, you know these two things about birth pains. They get, once they start, they get harder and closer together, more intense and more frequent. And when the intensity gets to a peak and they turns into where it's just one big pain, there's a baby coming. It's called transition. There's a baby on the way. I want you to understand that this old world's been heaving now for a long time. And we've been in the throes of birth pains. But I'm telling you that it's getting so close together now that the morning news is canceled out by the noon news because it's so much has changed. And the nightly news, they don't even mention what was on the morning news because there's so much change in the nightly news. It's amazing what is going on. And so that's what we're looking at this morning, the thought of birth pains. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you'd help us now. May the will of God be done. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. If there's one here that's not ready to stand before you, may this be the glad hour that they'll receive you and trust you by faith. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. My proof text is in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 3. The Bible says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. And I've got to remember to change my screen. And so this morning, there are several things that are indicative of the coming of the Lord. Several things that we know of that are going to take place and are going to happen as the coming of the Lord draws near. And I want to tell you, folks, I believe the coming of the Lord is so close. I believe it's way closer than what we think. And I know it's closer than when we first believed. Somebody said, oh, I've heard that all my life. Yeah, but I guarantee you we're closer to it now than it was 10 years ago. We're 10 years closer. And what's amazing is the Mayan calendar is predicting something big is going to happen. All these other world religions are predicting something's going to happen. Islam's predicting that the whatever it is, Imam is coming. All these other people are expecting, hey, there's movies out about doomsday that's coming up in December. But you know what? I don't hear Christians talking to me anything. I don't hear Christians even considering it. I think we're looking for heaven on earth. We're all consumed in the election and the electoral process, and we're hoping that God's going to turn this nation through a change in leadership, and we're going to have, you know, things are going to get better. Well, there may be space between the pains, and sometimes birth pains do that. Sometimes they get hard and then they let off. Sometimes they get hard and then they let off. They're hard to predict. Sometimes a lady will have a group of them. A mom will have a group of them, and then they'll kind of back off. Sometimes you think that baby's here. Daddies, how many have been through that? Son, you think it's coming. I mean, you think it's here. And then nothing. Just kind of fizzles out. I mean, just nothing. And you're thinking, and we drove 100 miles an hour for this? And we, you know, we've been through all this. And you know what the bad part of it is? When they stop, that means you got to start all over. That means everything that just happened was a rehearsal. That you got to start right back from the start, from scratch, and you got to just, got to go through all of it again. Isn't that thrilling? What I'm saying is there may be space between the birth pains, and I'm not saying that God may not give us space. He might. But I can tell you this, I don't see any signs of national repentance. I don't see any signs of people getting saved by the droves. I don't see any sign of people coming to God, repenting of their wickedness. Well, I take that back. Chick-fil-A Day was kind of an encouragement. It was. And maybe, and hopefully I'm wrong, but what I'm trying to say is we have been told to look for the coming of the Lord ever since he left. That group standing around was waiting, looking for him coming, and the angels had to rebuke him and say, "Why stand you here gazing?" They thought he's coming back. He said he's coming back, and they were, I guess, just waiting for him to come back. Thought they'd just stand right there until he got back. And they said, "Why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus which you've seen go in this like manner, shall come again." But that group died believing they were going to see him return. And every group since then have died in faith believing they were going to see him return. But one of these days, he that shall come and will not tarry. He's not going to be late. I used to hear people, "Well, if the Lord tarries, he's coming." That means he's going to drag his feet. God's not going to drag his feet. It's just not time. What time is it, preacher? Well, this I can tell you. The time of the coming of the Lord is going to be marked by some very difficult problems. Some very difficult problems. And it's going to be not just on a local scale, but it's going to be on a national scale and on an international scale. The Bible says in Matthew 24:4, "And Jesus answered and said unto you, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I want you to understand something. There are many folks in America going to church. Matter of fact, going to church is getting pretty popular. But there are people who are going to church and never hearing the gospel. And they're being told that they're okay. And we have something new going on, New Age Christianity, which teaches just believe without any repentance. And they are incorporating all sorts of Eastern mysticism and everything else in the name of Christianity. In the name of Christ, they're bringing occultism into the church. And it is at an alarming rate. I don't know if you've been watching this thing of Chrislam, where they merge Islam and Christianity. Some of the big name preachers in America have endorsed that. That's wicked. That's wicked. Tell them I said, put me down, I'll sign it. That's wicked. They haven't traveled around as much as I have. They haven't been into Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and some of the places I've been. I trust me. They've not been in the Philippines where the Muslim extremists behead the missionaries. It's a constant fight and a constant war. They haven't been where I've been, or they wouldn't be. I'm talking about it ain't even close. A time of national disasters as far as messianic creeds, but also a time of military conflicts. The Bible says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." I mean, there's a rumbling in the distance, and it's about war. And it's not just one war. It's about war on every hand. War on every side. War within our country. War within Mexico, the drug cartels, and the wars that are going on there. I mean, South America, the wars. Bolivia's about, they're shaky as a leaf right now. And the communist revolution that's taking the upper part of South America, it's taking the Caribbean by storm. Scary stuff. But hey, you ain't heard the half of it. Russia's been selling Iran arms like crazy. Russia's come up against the votes in the UN for sanctions. Russia's partnering with Iran. Very sad situation. This week, the Prince of Persia, study that phrase in Scripture. I call him a Ben a nut job because I can't pronounce his name. But that's who he is. He's a nut job. Let me tell you something. He might not be as big a nut as we think he is. But I tell you this, he's a pawn in the hand of the devil. He announced, I think it was Thursday, an all-new, all-out war. There would never be peace in the Middle East unless two things happened. The United States was weakened to a point that we could not intervene any longer. That we had to be, if not annihilated, we had to be destroyed to the point that we can't intervene. And secondly, Israel must be annihilated. So there'll never be peace unless all the Jews are killed and the Muslims take all of Israel. And he believes it's going to happen. An Israeli top cabinet official made a statement this week to one of the Israeli presses and made this statement. He said, I would not want to be an Iranian for the next 90 days. But Netanyahu didn't say that. But a cabinet official made the statement, I would not want to be an Iranian the next 90 days. I don't know what that means, but I don't like the sound of it. Did you know that our president has sent the Delta Force into Syria? That it was announced this week, it was leaked, that our CIA has been on the ground, not on the side of the government. We're there to overthrow the government. We're working with the rebels that are being backed by Hamas and being backed by the Muslim Brotherhood. We're on the wrong side of this thing. And we have committed Delta Force troops there. Read Isaiah 17 when you get home about the destruction of Damascus and how it'll be a ruined wasteland and they'll never be inhabited again. What do you think that, what would cause that? I mean, what would cause Damascus to never be inhabited again? There's only a few things that could cause that. And the scripture says it's going to happen. And the problem is, the Syrians are saying, bring it on. The Iranians are saying, oh yeah, we got to do this. And Israel on the backside saying, they're going to draw back a nub. The Bible says, see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the Bible says, but the end is not yet. Verse 7 of chapter 24, the Bible says, for nation shall rise against nation. Now, we've seen that in World War II. We've seen that in, World War I. We've seen that a number of times. That's usually how it works. But there's a second phrase here that says, in kingdom against kingdom. Did you realize the wars that we have been fighting are not against nations? It's against kingdoms. Afghanistan, we fought a kingdom. The Taliban, that's a kingdom. This whole thing of the Muslim Brotherhood, it is Muslims overthrowing Muslims. Kingdoms overthrowing kingdoms. It's not nations over. It wasn't that somebody else coming to Libya and overthrew it. The Libyans overthrew the Libyans. One kingdom who was loyal to Gaddafi was overthrown by the Muslim Brotherhood, who is loyal to the Muslim Brotherhood, who overthrew Egypt. Who could believe that? Who's in the process of overthrowing Syria? Lebanon. I mean, they're falling like dominoes. They said the prince of Saudi Arabia, king of Saudi Arabia, is shaking like a leaf. It ain't looking good. And we turned, by the way, just so you'll know, we turned Iraq over to that group. That's who we give it to. We handed the keys of Iraq into the hands of that far extremist Muslim faction. We sure did. No matter what anybody tells you. Sunni Muslims are Sunnis are typically not near so radical as Shiites. But you think we turned it over to a Shiite government, which is what they were? No. We transformed that thing and turned it into a Sunni government. It's now a Shiite government, which is the same thing as Iran is, which is the same thing that's sweeping across northern part of Africa. Do you understand that they are doing what Hitler could not do? They've taken the whole northern continent of Africa. They have it in their control, and now they're sweeping back around and making the hook back into Europe, just exactly what the Nazis tried to do and were defeated at Al Alamein by the French and the Canadian and the American and British troops. I've been to El Alamein in the desert of northern Egypt, and they've stopped them there, and we have 7,000 crosses in the middle of the desert of American men who gave their lives to stop that force from spreading. Had they ever got to Cairo, had they ever got the oil, Hitler would have been no stopping him. But we put up a front and we stopped him near the Libyan border. It's called El Alamein. Very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous place. One of the most deadly battles of World War II. Military conflict, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. But it's not just natural disasters, but look at this. Not just national disasters, but natural disasters. Look what the Bible says. And there shall be famines. The Rushes are from Missouri. They've been out in Missouri for a month. They come back in, and when they got here, they said, "Oh, preacher, Missouri is brown. All the way home, it's brown." Said, "Did you know that we got about halfway through Tennessee before we saw green corn? It's all fried. Did you know going the other direction, it's the same way? We've had record temperatures, record droughts. The corn crop was scheduled to be 15.4 billion bushels of corn. It was supposed to be the biggest corn crop in the history of the United States. According to the USDA, a week ago Monday, 69% of that's destroyed. There's only 30% of the crop, 31% of the crop that's considered to be good or excellent for human consumption of all that. 30%. And we're not out of it yet. It still ain't rained. Folks, do you understand what happens when corn, we're the number one exporter of corn in the world. We export more corn than any other place. Remember the fellow that was from Sammy Allen's that preached, and he died recently? I can't remember his name. Fane Jordan preached a message on the corn crop. And he said, you can judge God's blessing and God's judgment on nation by the corn crop. Folks, our corn this week hit an all-time historical high of $8.20 a bushel. Soybeans went over 16. Wheat went over 9. On the other hand, hogs and cattle dropped to a low that's unprecedented. Why? Because they're butchering them. They're not growing them out because ain't nothing to feed them. The cattle are starving, and because of the Obama mandate that we got to put so much gasohol in the cars, so much ethanol, there's not enough silage to feed the cows. And the farmers are begging to release them from this alcohol in the fuel, renewable energy, so they can feed the cows so we can feed the nation. Right now, beef prices are dropping. Wait till the glut's gone and see what's going to happen. Wait till the winter locks in. And wait till you start buying beef that's been grain fed on $8.20 a bushel corn. It's going to be unbelievable. And when God cuts the water off, friend, there's no remedy. You can't irrigate the whole country. They showed a weather map of every place that was on fire. It's unbelievable. This country is on fire. Forest fires, I mean, it's everywhere. Thousands of acres just singed, burnt. Unbelievable. The number of homes destroyed. Unbelievable. I can't even imagine firemen and having to fight those sorts of conditions. I can't even imagine losing 120 homes in one town. 120 homes gone because this fire come through and things were so dry. I'm talking about there shall be famines, and we may see it, and pestilences. Dear lady that just passed this morning, I heard the doctor say, I met with a cancer doctor and her husband this week. He took his lunch break and come up to her room on his lunch break, and he's not even directly caring for her. He come to see her. And I had some questions for him. I said, how often do you see cancer like this? He said, we might see one a year, but he said, hers was like nothing I've ever seen. He said, it was so aggressive. He said, it was not just doubling. He said, it was exponentially just exploding. How many people here know somebody has cancer? Raise your hand. You know somebody has cancer. That's the majority. We don't think about it as being a disease because it's not like it's catching. But my friend, it's a disease. It's certainly a pestilence. And it's amazing. I mean, it's terrifying how many people each week find out that they have it. And that's just one of the things. And I do mean just one of the things that we're facing. Lacrosse encephalitis, like Colin had. Did you realize there's already kids in the hospital with it, and it's August? This disease don't even kick in until about September, but there's kids in the hospital with it that may die with lacrosse encephalitis. And did you realize that that's only right here? That we're one of the few places in the world that has this disease spread by mosquitoes? A little part of Henderson, a little part of Transylvania, a little part of Jackson. Just a little part. Just a little certain places that have it. That's why there's not readily treatable. No. We see more lacrosse encephalitis that attacks the brain than any other region in the country right here at home. I'm talking about disease. Not to mention, everybody's in the fire service, medical service. All of you know the big talk, and the bird flu was part of it, but this pandemic, the word pandemic is now all the time. You're being trained for pandemics. I went to one training thing, and I said, I ain't going back. I'm still on the boards. I still serve as a volunteer on the emergency boards, and I was invited to one. And the woman got up and said, imagine 80% of your workforce can't come to work. She's talking to fire departments. She's talking to EMS and hospitals. She said, imagine 80% of your people call in sick. Now imagine that 80% of the population is sick. How are you going to deal with that? And I'm thinking, you're not. You're not going to deal with it. It's going to be unbelievable. They'll have to put a guard on the roof of the hospital to keep people from breaking in the hospital to get service. They'll have to put a machine gun nest to guard the emergency room entrance. They'll have to barricade it when that many people get sick. Can you imagine? It's not going to be good, folks. The Bible says in earthquakes in diverse places. I mean, Sumatra, Haiti. But let me tell you this. One that's really got my nerves shaken. You ever heard of the New Madrid Fault? The New Madrid Fault line runs right up the Mississippi River. And in the early 1800s, that thing went off. It was like an 8.0 or 8-something earthquake in the United States in the early part of the 1800s. The Mississippi River run backwards for weeks. There's a big lake near Nashville that was formed by that river running backwards. The ground shook so hard and was so convoluted that the Mississippi River ran backwards. At that time, there wasn't much to tear up. We had very little, especially in that area. There wasn't much. It was still Indian country. 1800, still Indian country. There was not much going on. Can you imagine what will happen now? And the sad part of it is, all the movement that Japan has had, that fault is putting pressure on the one in the Rockies, which in turn is putting pressure on the New Madrid, which in turn, we're a part of the Mississippi Basin. Do you understand that that's us? Do you understand that this rock quarry and that mountain and under our feet is what's called the Brevard Fault? And the one thing we're not proof to is an earthquake? If it ever goes to shaking, folks, run out the doors. Don't wait for me to dismiss. Get out of the building. Concrete buildings, steel buildings, are the worst place you can be in an earthquake. And this one certainly is not a good place to be. We are on a fault. There is a fault that goes all the way into Virginia, but it's called the Brevard Fault because it runs right under the courthouse, right up Jailhouse Hill. And the rock quarry over here is a part of the fault. I mean, it runs right literally under our feet somewhere, right through here. Some say it runs up the river valley, which probably does. But still, I mean, we're close to it. What I'm telling you is, if one triggers and the tectonic plates begin to move, my friend, the ground could be jumping up and down under our feet, 3 to 4 feet up under our feet. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you that birth pains are due and overdue. They say the Indians, the folklore says, the Indians said that New Madrid Fault moved in about 1600, according to their history. And it moved again at about 1800. It's due to move again right along now. And there's a phenomenon that I'm not going to take time to get in, but AM signal runs through the ground. And anytime there's friction builds up in the plates, it creates some sort of interference to AM signal. And AM stations all over the Midwest or the central United States are reporting loss of signal. It's so much so that the U.S. Geological Survey is now studying radio frequency through the ground, thinking that might be a way to predict an earthquake. I've noticed our signal's down. May this be from the dry, maybe from the heat, I don't know. But you can't hear us in places you could hear us before. And I don't have any explanation for it. Destruction. But it goes further than that. The Bible says in verse number 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now I know this is talking about Israel. But if you heard anything about Belshare, and you saw the treatment that the Christians got at Belshare in Asheville, North Carolina, 30 minutes from here, you'd know something about this verse. I say to you, if a group of Muslims had come out at noon and had got their prayer rugs and got down in their prayer caps and began bowing and praying and chanting the Quran to Islam and to Mecca, and a group of Christians had to throw beer in their face and ice in their face and cuss them and grab their person and kick them and spit upon them and all the other things, son, the federal government would have been in here and there would be people in jail. I mean, it would be a federal hate crime case going on right now. But there were no Muslims doing that. Instead, it was Christians exercising their religion, and that was allowed to be done in front of the police. Nudity, lewdity, unbelievable acts of vileness. And it's documented. And the police were told, don't intervene. In other words, suddenly, Belshare is a constitution-free zone that your First Amendment rights are not going to be protected. That's basically what they said. A time of brutality, a time of betrayal. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." We're seeing that in our ranks already. Hey, this thing's not making us closer, making us pull together. We're not pulling together. We're pulling apart. And now it's the preacher is the preacher's worst enemy. This preacher over here's worst enemy. It's not the homosexuals. It's not the drunks. It's not the other crowd that's giving us the biggest trouble. It's the brethren that's giving us the trouble. Because I don't part my hair on the right side, or because I don't wear this, or don't do that, or it's over little tiny things that won't amount to a hill of beans in heaven. And yet, that's what we're stuck on. The Bible says, "Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." Betrayal, brutality. The Bible says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Have you seen that? It's a cold time. Hey, 70% of the corn crop's gone. Half the country's on fire. We've got all these problems. Do you see anybody calling on God? Do you see anybody going to church? Do you see anybody, trying any kind of national repentance? No, sir, just the opposite. Let a man come out and say he believes that we don't have the right to change the Bible and the biblical view of marriage. And what do? They pounce on him. And he becomes, his good is evil spoken of. And he becomes the bad guy. Waxing cold. And what makes me mad is the Christians, many are jumping right in on top of that. Well, look what the Bible says. Verse number 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." But then it goes on to say, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Well, I understand that this is the gospel of the kingdom. I understand what it's talking about. I understand the dispensational here. There's two parts. What shall be the coming sign of the coming of Christ and the end of the world? And this passage goes into both. And I understand that. But I can tell you this. The gospel is going around the world. We're in Pakistan, and it's coming back around this way. And there's people going to faraway places. There's people going to places they ain't never been before. They're up there this weekend with these Eskimos, these Alabaskan Indians. Some of them ain't never heard the gospel in their lives, and they're up there trying to reach them. Down in the South America, trying to reach the people in Uluru. I mean, the idol capital of the world. We bought property there this week to build a church in. This gospel will be preached to all the world. It is being preached to all the world. We're trying to get the property to build the first Christian church on the island of Malapascua, 3,000 souls in the South China Sea, and we're going to build the first. They've never had one. By the grace of God. May get that transaction taken care of this week. Roswell Tabernacle gave $1,000 this week for it. Thank the Lord. But what I'm trying to say is that all these things are the beginning of sorrows. When I say beginning, what I mean is it ain't over. It's just starting. And it's not going to get no better. You think about this truth. The same sunshine that hardens the ground and hardens the clay melts butter that's set out in the sun on a plate beside of it. You see, it's all about the consistency of the product. It's all about the texture of the product. All the plagues come upon Pharaoh in Egypt, and you know what it did? It hardened his heart, hardened his heart, hardened his heart. Could have softened it, but it didn't. It hardened his heart. I want to say to you this morning, if you listen to the sound of my voice, if you've hardened your voice to the gospel, and you've turned a deaf ear up until now, you're on dangerous ground. Because these things that are coming upon us are not going to make you softer. They're going to make you harder. If you reject the light God's given you, hey, you say, well, I've got some interest and I'm thinking about it. Let me tell you something. That may go away and you may never want anything else to do with it. And you may die in your lost condition. What I'm simply saying is if God is dealing with your soul and the birth pains are where they are right now, if I was you, I'd do something about it. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that He came to this earth to die for you, to take your place. You should be in hell because of your sin. And yet Christ died for you, didn't have any sin of His own. He took your sin, nailed it to the cross, died a sinner's death in your place. My friend, if you'll trust that today, give up. And say, I'm tired of trying to do good and trying to get to heaven on my own. It ain't working. Instead, I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to trust Christ for my eternal salvation. Friend, before the bottom falls out, before this world goes crazy, but most of all, before the shout, did you know that we're coming up on the Jewish holidays? Feast of the Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, Day of Atonement. You know, the Arabs have already attacked Israel once on the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the highest, holiest day they had. That's when they attacked on their Christmas, if you will. They've already done that. Many say they'll attack this year on one of the big holidays, trying to get that advantage. Friend, I don't know. Missiles could be in the air right now for all I know. I'm not threatening you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm simply telling you all we have is this moment. We know we got this moment. I can't promise you the next one. We got today. I can't promise you next Sunday. We got this opportunity. We've got this invitation. I can't promise you tonight. I may be in eternity for that. You may be in eternity for that. But we got right now. If you're willing, you can do business with a thrice holy God and get you some things settled this morning.